Thank you. Yeah, first I want to thank the organizers for putting together this very nice conference. I've learned a lot in the last 1 week, and well, I'm sorry I can't be there in person, but I hope this also works. So I will talk about models with fractal symmetries, and actually it's a model with some models with infinite series of fractal symmetries. And especially I will talk about a multi-critical point where we can compute many things using field theory techniques about systems with fractal symmetries. So for those of you actually who heard some version of the talk before, so this actually will be some updated talk with some recent work which is still in progress. So let me first acknowledge my collaborators. So Nayan, Kaixiang, and Stephen, they are students from UCSB, and Wenjie and Shang, they are postdocs in KITP and UCSB, and then David and Sagar, they are my colleague faculty members from UCSB. So this is a list of the content. So I will first introduce fractal subsystem symmetries, and also what I mean by fractal order. Fractal order means actually a spontaneous symmetry breaking of the fractal symmetry. It's actually slightly different from what people call fracton order, because fracton order usually means that the system has some subsystem symmetry and also topological order. But actually, I think we should probably understand subsystem symmetry and fractal symmetry first without relying on too much on topological order. So I try to separate these two things. And in this talk, we will just focus on systems with fractal symmetry rather than topological order. Then I will introduce a model with what we named the Pascal triangle fractal symmetries. And also, so this model and its Pascal triangle symmetry will unify a series, actually infinite series of fractal symmetries. And then I will talk about a multi-critical point with a Pascal triangle symmetry, which we can actually analyze using some field theory techniques. And then I probably won't have time to get to, but let me just say this in the introduction. I mean, we actually also have a realization with one of the fractal symmetry models with the Rydberg atom. This is the reference. As I said, there will be something still in progress. Yeah, okay, so fractal. So fractal in nature. So fractal basically means something with a self-similar structure. So for example, this tree branching, if we stand at the point B, it will branch and it's the same as we stand at point C, which will also branch and also the same as the point D. So in nature, whenever we see this kind of branching structure, it's a fractal with a fractal dimension, which is not an integer dimension. So in nature, there are many, many examples with this kind of fractal, since you just had lunch. So I think it's okay to show you this picture. So for example, this is a very typical, but not very well-known example of fractal. It's a beef with a fat distribution. Actually, you can see the fat distribution in the beef actually forms this kind of a tree branch structure. So actually the beef has a fractal dimension associated with it. If you Google, you will find papers relating the quality of their beefsteak and the fractal dimension of the beefsteak. Actually, they say there's some relation to that, which you can find online. And actually there's a specific fractal shape, which I will discuss a lot in this talk, which is the Sierpinski triangle. So you can see that this is like a fractal embedded in a two-dimensional system. So actually it has a self-similar triangular shaped structure. So actually in nature, it also has a realization, kind of a surprising realization in one of the seashells, okay? So how do we realize this kind of a fractal structure in a condensed matter system? So turns out actually, let me first talk about some other simpler subsystem symmetry models. So this is the model actually started like 20 years ago by Paramikanti and Balance and Fisher. So I will call this model PBF model from this point. So this model actually is the rotor model or the boson model defined on the square lattice. So actually, instead of ordinary nearest neighbor hopping term, it has a ring exchange term. So the physical meaning for this term is that actually it hops one boson from this side to this side, but simultaneously it hops one boson from this side to this side. So you can see that this model is invariant under this transformation. So phi can be added with any function of x and any function of y. This Hamiltonian will be invariant. And this subsystem symmetry actually is associated with a conservation law along every line and every column on the square lattice. So this is this is one of the first models people studied with the subsystem symmetry. It turns out that because of this one-dimensional conservation or one-dimensional subsystem symmetry, this 2+1-dimensional model has a lot of similar feature as like a 1+1-dimensional boson model. For example, there's no superfluid phase, but there's a quasi-long range order or power law correlation between some operator within certain phase of the of this model. Another model with a subsystem symmetry is basically a Z2 version of the previous model I just mentioned. It's a 2+1-dimensional Ising plaquette model. It's like an Ising model, but actually it involves a product of 4 sigma z's on the 4 corners of every unique plaquette of the square lattice. So this model actually also has a one-dimensional conservation law. For example, the product of sigma x along every line and every column actually commute with the Hamiltonian. So those are the conserved quantities of this model. So actually this model, actually also behaves like a 1+1-dimensional quantum Ising model in the following sense. For example, this model is self-dual. It's precisely self-dual because I can introduce like a dual variable on the plaquette center. Then actually the sigma x term will be the product of 4 tau z defined on the plaquette center. And this product sigma z will become the transverse field in the dual variable. So this model becomes a precisely self-dual. And also there's a quantum phase transition at precisely h equals to k. So when we tune h over k, there's a quantum phase transition which separates a spontaneous symmetry breaking phase of the subsystem symmetry and also a disordered phase of the subsystem symmetry. So it's also an order disorder phase transition. However, unlike the 1+1-dimensional Ising model, this phase transition is first order, is confirmed by numerics. And also this model, just like the 1+1-dimensional Ising model, this model has no finite temperature phase transition. So suppose I raise temperature, then it's just a one big disordered phase at any finite temperature of this Ising plaquette model. Okay, but this model are the simple examples of subsystem symmetry, but they are not the models I will focus on in this talk, because actually these models have what is called type 1 subsystem symmetry. So type 1 subsystem symmetry means that the conserved charge or the symmetry, they are actually defined on the ordinary subset of the lattice, such as lines and planes. They are examples of type 1 subsystem symmetry. But actually I will focus on type 2 subsystem symmetry. The type 2 subsystem symmetry means that actually the conserved charge, they are defined on a fractal subset of the lattice. And a fractal subset of the lattice actually has a non-integer, actually an irrational dimensions, like the Sierpinski triangle, which I just mentioned before. So for example, the simplest model which demonstrates this type 2 subsystem symmetry actually has a very, very simple form. So it was first proposed by Newman and Moore a while back, and then later it was analyzed more carefully by Yoshida. It's called a Sierpinski triangle model. So this model actually is defined on a purely regular standard triangular lattice. The only special part is the Hamiltonian. The Hamiltonian is a sum of terms defined on the down triangle. And actually on every down triangle, we have a product of sigma z on the 3 corners of the down triangle. And then we sum over all the down triangle of the entire lattice. So actually, if you just look at this model, you will see that the obvious ground state, the obvious ground state of the Hamiltonian will have a sigma z equals to one everywhere. But that's not the only ground state, because you can see that to minimize the every down triangle, we just have to make sure the product of the three sigma z equals to one. So to do this, we can have sigma z equals to one everywhere, or we can have two sigma z equals to minus one and one sigma z equals to plus one on every down triangle. So for example, I can create this kind of a configuration. You can see that, all the blue dot means sigma z equals to minus one, and all the other dot means sigma z equals to plus one. You can see that actually at this configuration, pretty much satisfied the constraint that sigma z equals, the product of sigma z equals plus one everywhere on all the down triangles. For example, this down triangle has a two minus one, one plus one, and this down triangle also have a two minus one and a one plus one. So that means that this configuration costs very little energy. It only costs energy at the three corners of the big triangle, and there's no energy cost as the interior, of the big triangle. And turns out, if you check, you will see that all these kind of Sierpinski triangle kind of shape only cost energy as the corners of the Sierpinski triangle, but it costs no energy at the interior of the Sierpinski triangle. So that means that in this system, suppose I can create this model, and I will clearly see this kind of emergent Sierpinski triangle kind of a structure in the excited states of the Hamiltonian. So this is the excited state. In fact, for example, we can actually just view this model. I mean this classical model as the statistical mechanics model, and we can calculate the correlation function between the three spins, the three spin correlation function, and then the three spin correlation function will decay with the power, which is related by the related to the fractal dimension of the Sierpinski triangle. The fractal dimension of the Sierpinski triangle, as I said before, is a non-integer. It actually log three over log two. So that means actually this Sierpinski triangle fractal dimension is actually observable by mirroring the correlation function of the three spin on this model. If we view this as a stochastic model. And also, we can actually make the fractal symmetry precise if we define our system on a periodical boundary condition with certain size. Unfortunately, the exact symmetry of the fractal symmetry can only be realized when the system has certain size. For example, when the system has size L equals to 2 to the power k minus 1, then actually the system has the exact Sierpinski triangle symmetry. For example, I can flip the spin on all the blue dot on the entire lattice, which actually forms a Sierpinski triangle. The Hamiltonian will be invariant under this transformation. Okay, so now we can talk about a quantum generalization of this Sierpinski triangle model. So just like the Ising model, we can turn on a transverse field. So this transverse field will make this Hamiltonian a quantum model. And again, when the lattice size is L equals to 2 to the power k minus 1, then actually there's a conserved quantity defined on the fractal, Sierpinski fractal subset of the lattice. So I can make a product of sigma x on this Sierpinski triangle subset of the lattice, and it's going to commute with the Hamiltonian. So it means that this Hamiltonian has an exact conserved quantity defined on the fractal subset of the triangular lattice. So this model with certain size has an exact Sierpinski triangle symmetry. So what is the nature? So what can we say about the Sierpinski triangle? So obviously we want to look at the phase transition when I tune h over k. When I tune h over k, just like the quantum Ising model, there could be a phase transition. So indeed, it can be shown that this model is also self-dual. So for example, I can introduce the dual variable at the center of the down triangle. Then this sigma x becomes the product of the three operators defined on the center of the down triangle. and then this product will become a transverse term, transverse field term, actually also defined on the center of every down triangle. So eventually this model is self-filled. It becomes a transverse field Sierpinski triangle model on the dual triangular lattice. So that means actually there's a likely a quantum phase transition at h equals to k. Okay, likely a quantum phase transition at h equals to k. So this quantum phase transition will separate two phases. One phase with h smaller than k will have the ground state, which spontaneously breaks the fractal subsystem symmetry, and the phase h greater than k will actually preserve the fractal subsystem symmetry. So the phase which spontaneously breaks the fractal subsystem symmetry is what I mean by a fractal order. It's different from the fracton order. Fracton order will have a topological order. So actually then this phase transition has been looked at by different groups. So the early result suggests that there's a first order phase transition when we tune H over K. The more recent result suggests it says a continuous phase transition at h equals to k. If it's continuous, I mean this phase transition will be very interesting and actually very exciting. The reason is that actually this is a model with a subsystem symmetry and with a fractal subsystem symmetry. Actually, we don't really have a theory which involves a spontaneous symmetry breaking for a fractal subsystem symmetry. Actually, we do have certain kind of understanding of phase transition involving type 1 subsystem symmetry, like the PBF model, which I mentioned at the beginning. We have some kind of RG analysis for that kind of theory. But actually, for a system with a fractal subsystem symmetry, doing RG is actually generally very challenging. But actually, later on, I will talk about a multi-critical point, which actually allows us to do certain kind of RG analysis. Okay, anyway, so if this phase transition continues, it's going to be very interesting. But so far, I think actually a numerical expert should test this a model more carefully and really identify the nature of this phase transition. Okay, so let me first introduce another model, which Sierpinski triangle model can embed into. Okay. The reason actually, this model actually is a starting point is actually because actually when we study anything with a Z2 symmetry or anything with some kind of a Zn symmetry, and maybe the starting point is to embed it into a model with a U1 symmetry and see what we can say about the U1 symmetry model, and then see whether we can reduce the U1 symmetry to discrete symmetry and see what happens there. So let me start with a model with a U1 symmetry again. This is a simple generalization of the Z2 version of the model. We still sum over terms defined on the down triangle of the triangular lattice. So actually, instead of a product of sigma z, we have a cosine theta 1 plus theta 2 plus theta 3, and a theta 1, 2, 3 are the three rotor phase angles defined on the three corners of the down triangle. So this model, you can see that this model actually has a lot of symmetries. So for example, the only thing we have to keep, the transformation we can do to keep the Hamiltonian invariant, we just have to keep the down triangle invariant. So for example, I can just add this angle by 2 pi over p. I'm not sure whether you can see this, it's very small. I can add this angle by 2 pi over p, add this angle by minus 2 pi over p, add this number by minus 2 pi over p, and this 2 pi over p, 4 pi over p, 2 pi over p, and this is a 2 pi over p, 6 pi over p, 6 pi, 2 pi. You know, so by going downwards, you can see that by doing this kind of transformation, I can keep every down triangle invariant except for this down triangle. So this whole structure here actually forms a Sierpinski triangle. Okay, form a Sierpinski triangle. Actually, in Chinese, it's called a Yanghui triangle. Okay, I mean, in Chinese textbooks, we only learn about Yanghui triangle, but not Pascal triangle at all. So actually, it means that this Hamiltonian has a fractal symmetry, and this fractal symmetry has the same structure as a Pascal triangle or Yanghui triangle symmetry. structure. Actually, this Yang-Hui or Pascal triangle actually includes a infinite series of fractal symmetry. So for example, if I take the Pascal triangle and I remove all the even numbers, okay, then I will get the Sierpinski triangle. Then I will get the Sierpinski triangle. And then if I take the Pascal triangle, but I remove all the multiple of three, I will get something else. I will get another fractal shape with a different fractal dimension. So turns out that I can actually take the Pascal triangle and generate an infinite series of fractal symmetry, one symmetry for each prime number. Okay, so it means that and if I remove all the prime numbers, if I remove a prime number p and its multiples, I would get a fractal dimension with, then I will get a fractal with dimension. It's a complicated formula, but you can see that it reduced to the Sierpinski triangle dimension when p equals to 2. Okay, and also we can also for all this kind of a ZP Sierpinski triangle model or ZP fractal model, we can calculate the three-point correlation function, and then the three-point correlation function will always be determined by the fractal dimension of that fractal structure. Okay, so it means that this U1 Pascal triangle model actually unifies an infinite series of fractal models, an infinite series of models with fractal symmetries. So let's first try to understand this U1 model and see what we can say about it. So let's first turn on a quantum perturbation, turn on a U-term here. Okay, the U-term basically is N is the quantum number associated with this bosonic rotor. So the question we can ask is that what is the phase diagram of this model? Okay, what's the phase diagram of the model? So suppose this model has the ordinary boson hopping term, then we expect there's going to be a phase transition. There's going to be a quantum disordered phase with large U, and also there's going to be a superfluid phase with a small U. But then actually later we will see that in this model with the U term, the entire phase will just be one big disordered phase. There's no phase transition at all with the U term. Okay, with the U term. So the standard procedure to analyze this kind of both rotor model, function boson rotor model, is actually to go to the dual picture. So I will try to walk you through it. So basically, this model we can also define dual variable on the dual triangular lattice. So dual variable, actually they are defined on the center of the down triangle. Okay, so the dual lattice will be another triangular lattice, but the dual variable will be defined on the center of the down triangle. So the dual model will look like this. Okay, will look like this. Basically the N defined on every side is the sum of the field psi now defined on the center of the down triangle. And then the sum of the three theta becomes another operator phi defined on the center of the down triangle. Okay, then this model actually looks pretty simple. We can just expand the U term, and this model becomes the anti-ferromagnetic coupling between different side field on the triangular lattice. And obviously we can just try to solve the mean field band structure of the model. We're gonna find that the psi term, okay, we have the minima as the two corners of the Brillouin zone. Okay, the psi will have the minima at two corner of the Brillouin zone. So this means that actually if I take the dual model and analyze its low energy physics, it means that low energy physics of the dual model will be described by one complex field psi, or we can view the one complex field psi as a O2 vector, okay, as an O2 vector. So the low energy Lagrangian will look like this. The psi vector is going to be a complex mode expanded by psi at certain momentum. But also we have to keep in mind that this psi field is a discrete field. So that means that in the dual theory, there's a vertex operator which pin the psi value to be a discrete number. And actually in terms of a low energy mode psi, this vertex operator will look like this. Okay, will look like this. There's a bunch of vertex operator. So actually this theory looks very much like the dual of the quantum diamond model on the 2+1 dimensional lattice theory. If I take a quantum dynamo model on the 2+1 dimensional lattice gauge theory, the dual will be a height field, one component height field with a vertex operator. So this theory will have a two components of the height field with a vertex operator, but actually the fate of the vertex operator will be very similar to the quantum dynamo model. So here you can easily convince yourself that this vertex operator will always be very relevant, So that means actually it will make the psi field very discrete, and a psi field being discrete means that this this U term, I mean, so it means that this Bose Hubbard model or the quantum rotor model just have one big disordered phase. It means that there's no superfluid phase, there's no Pascal triangle symmetry breaking phase. The whole model will actually be one big disordered phase once we turn on a Hubbard U-turn. So this is a little bit disappointing, because actually when we turn on the Hubbard U-turn, we don't really have a phase transition. The system will be disordered. However, we can tune this model to a multi-critical point where actually the system becomes very interesting. So just like the quantum dynamo model on the square lattice itself is kind of boring, it's just a confined phase. But once we tune the system to a multi-critical point, which we call a Roxler-Kivelson point or the RK point, the physics can be quite interesting. So the same thing happens here. I can turn on some the nearest neighbor interaction between the boson density. And by tuning the J over U, I can tune the system to this point. It means that this gradient psi square term vanish. What I end up with is a gradient square psi square term. Okay, so this model becomes a Lipschitz theory in the dual theory, in the dual variable. This is a Lipschitz theory. And then for the Lipschitz theory, well, I mean, now actually this vertex operator can be relevant or irrelevant, or it can be relevant or irrelevant depending on row four. So this is the beta function for alpha. We can see that as long as the row four is actually smaller than some critical value, then actually smaller. Yeah, when row four is small enough than some critical value, then actually alpha actually can be irrelevant. Then actually we have a gapless point. Okay, so we do have a gapless theory. We do have a gapless point with a fractal symmetry. So actually we want to analyze this. We want to analyze this this gapless theory. So before we do that, let me first try to review something about the original PBF theory. So the original PBF theory is that they have a lattice model. They also have like a field theory, or we can say it's effective low energy effective theory, which means that actually this theory, they do not really rely on the order UV degree of freedom anymore. It's a coarse grained model. So in the coarse grained model, it still has some of the subsystem symmetry, but actually we can do a lot of universal calculation with this field theory, rather than relying on everything on the UV lattice model. So actually we are trying to achieve the same thing here. So what should we calculate? To characterize this gapless theory? So it turns out that actually there's something, which is called a patch operator, or sometimes called a disorder operator, but actually it's just a symmetry transformation generator localized on a patch of the system. So for example, suppose I take the one dimensional quantum Ising model. So obviously we can actually use the order parameter to characterize the phase diagram. We have a long range correlation, then it's actually going to be the ordered phase. The short range correlation is going to be the disordered phase, or suppose the correlation function is the power law, is the critical point. So that's the case for the quantum Ising model. But we can also equally use the dual correlation function, or something called a patch operator by Wen Jie and Xiao Gang. So it's the product of sigma x localized on certain patch. So this operator basically is the Z2 symmetry generator, but actually localized on a patch. So when this operator has a short range correlation, it's actually in the ordered phase. When this operator has a power law correlation, it's actually at the critical point. And when this operator has a long range correlation, it's actually in the disordered phase. So here in our model, actually it's more convenient to consider this kind of a patch operator for the Pascal triangle symmetry generator. So for example, I can define a ZP fractal symmetry generator and actually define it and localize it on a finite triangular patch and evaluate its average value So we can see that at this RK point, as the multi-critical RK point, this operator will actually have a power law decay. Okay, has a power law decay. And this power law decay actually depend on P, okay, depend on the prime number P, which I choose as the definition for my fractal symmetry. And we can also check that in the quantum disordered phase, this operator will also have a long range correlation. So everything is actually very much consistent as the quantizing model. So when this operator actually the power law, it's actually going to be the multi-critical point with the fractal symmetry. And then when it's a long range correlated, I mean, the system is in quantum disordered phase. Okay. So is there a question? Oh, okay. Just a reminder. Okay, thanks. Yeah, right. So this is something we can calculate as the multi-critical RK point. And this calculation, actually, we don't have to do the calculation using the lattice model anymore. We can do the calculation using this effective field theory. I'm not sure whether this effective field theory has anything to do with the quantum phase transition of the original CFNC triangle model, but at least this is the critical point or multi-critical point with the fractal symmetry, which we can analyze to some extent with some field theory. Okay, so maybe another question is that what if I break the U1 symmetry down to Zn or down to Zp? So is the RK point going to be stable or instable against the Zp anisotropy? So the standard way to break the U1 down to Zp is by turning on this kind of a cosine P theta term in the Hamiltonian. Then this term actually will pin the theta to a certain discrete value. So let me first remind you what's the behavior of the Zp anisotropy in the PBF model. So actually it turns out that so if this operator is going to be relevant, it has to make a IR divergent contribution to the partition function at a certain order of perturbation. So the original PBF model made a very, very good observation. They showed that actually the four-point correlation function of this operator is non-zero and may potentially lead to some IR divergent when the four-point are located on the four corners of a rectangle. And a four-point correlation looks like this. Okay, look like this. And actually, this is required by the subsystem symmetry. So it means that the four-point correlation has to be non-zero only when the four points are the four corners of a rectangle. But in our case, one thing which we find quite surprising and also quite exciting is that actually for any finite order perturbation, we cannot find any combination of the cosine p theta to have a non-zero efficient value when these points are far enough. Okay, so when we consider large enough area, no finite order perturbation theory of the cosine p theta can lead to any non-zero non-zero value,
Schenke?
Non-zero contribution.
There's a question from the audience.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Hi, Schenke. Does that include p equal to 1?
Actually, this analysis also includes p equals 1. Yeah.
So it means you don't need any symmetry to begin with, or what?
Actually, no. That's a very subtle point to make. So it means actually. Suppose I tune my U1 theory to this RK point. Then, if I weakly break the U1, then actually this RK point seems stable. But it doesn't mean that if I have a lattice model with complete trivial degree of freedom, I can tune this system to this RK point. Yeah, okay. I can only say if I just add a weak or soft potential p cosine p theta, actually this arcade point actually seems stable.
Okay,
but thanks. I cannot say that. I mean, this statement can be made for when I take this coefficient of cosine piece that are going to be infinite. You know, I cannot say that.
Okay. Also, you have 2 minutes left, so if you can find a good point to draw conclusions.
Okay. Yeah. So anyway, I have to admit that this is still in progress, and I haven't understood everything perfectly well yet. So actually, this is our current understanding, but actually, the work is still in progress. So actually, it may update. My current conclusion is actually this arcade point is the point which is shared, by all the previously mentioned systems with different fractal symmetries. But actually, certainly we have to be very careful with this statement. Because the title of this program has a gauge theory, so let me also mention that actually this classical triangle model and all the previous mentioned model actually can be viewed as a U1 cross U1 gauge theory on the honeycomb lattice after some gauge fixing. But I probably don't have time to go to the details. But actually, I also want to comment that the PBF model, the original PBF model, actually can also be viewed as a special U1 gauge theory after gauge fixing. Actually, it's natural to expect this because actually, as I said, the dual variable, the dual theory is a field theory in terms of a height field. And a height field is a scalar field. So if I dual back, then the original theory should have some representation in terms of the gauge theory. So this is true for the for our particle triangle model and also for the original PBF model. And also all the discussion can be also generalized to the 3D Pascal tetrahedron model as well. But actually, something I don't have time to get into that. So I mean, as I expected, I don't have time to explain the physical realization, but let me just show one slide of the physical realization, because actually the Sierpinski triangle model involves a three-body interaction, which usually is very difficult to realize in a condensed system. But actually, we actually realized that suppose I extend the Hamiltonian, expend the Hilbert space. For example, I insert one side on every down triangle, and I add another degree of freedom in this at the center of the down triangle. I can actually simulate all the states of the Sierpinski triangle model with the correct energy using only two body interaction with the extra Hilbert space. So this trick allows us to simulate, to realize a lot of multi-body interaction using just a two-body interaction, But actually we need to add some Hilbert space. We need to add some dimension of the Hilbert space to realize that. Okay. So since I don't have time, I'm just going to go to the conclusion page. Okay, so yeah, I welcome questions.
So thank you very much for your nice talk. We have time for questions. Where we start in front.
Thank you. Maybe a super naive question. So what would a symmetry defect or a symmetry flux of the fractal symmetry look like on the lattice?
It's going to be that the big Sierpinski triangle, I would imagine. But actually, you are asking how do we gauge the Sierpinski triangle, I think. That actually is a very good question, but I haven't thought about it yet, so I cannot give a very good answer. So I assume that you want to gauge the Sierpinski triangle model and see what the defect is like. Yeah, I don't know yet. Sorry.
So
yeah, but that's certainly worth thinking about.
So for example, if I put it on a compact geometry, can I have a twisted sector?
Say again.
So if I place it on a compact or periodic geometry, can I have a twisted sector for the Z2 what fractal symmetry?
Yeah, I would imagine so, but as I said, yeah, that's definitely it's an excellent question, but I don't have a good answer right now, but because actually it's a subsystem symmetry. I expect a twisted boundary condition or twisted sector will be quite complex you know, I mean, I'm not even sure whether the type one subsystem symmetry. Well, I mean, let's see. Well, we can gauge the type one subsystem symmetry, then I will get some tensor gauge field. Yeah, so here I would get something even weirder. Yeah, I don't know. Sorry. It's not a simple answer. But that's a very good question to think about.
Thank you.
Sorry about that.
Another question. I guess I missed something basic about the continuum field theory. From the continuum field theory, how do I see there's a fractal symmetry?
Oh yeah, that's another very good question. Actually, no, the fractal symmetry becomes implicit. It's just like. Well, I mean, you know. Yeah, so I would say so far this field theory is actually a way to compute things with the fractal symmetry without visualizing the fractal symmetry explicitly. It's like when we take the suppose we want to calculate something about a gauge field, actually sometimes it's more convenient to go to the dual picture, and actually so for example if I want to calculate something about a monopole. The monopole is a very, very non-local thing. It's hard to evaluate. But if I go to the dual picture, I can calculate the monopole, I mean, using the dual theory, but without explicitly showing the gauge symmetry. So I think the same thing happened here. So actually, we can definitely calculate things related to the fractal symmetry in the dual language, but actually we don't really, you know, use the fractal symmetry. Because I suppose we use the fractal symmetry, like you know, it's going to be a very tedious calculation to do.
Can you?
Hi, thank you. And but from the field theory, maybe a follow-up question: can I see the correlation function, and can I see this log 3 over log 2, or this kind of fractal dimension from the field theory? Or just from the calculation of the correlation function?
Well, actually, let's see. So far, the calculation we did is that as the RK point, actually, for every P, for every ZP fractal symmetry, characterized by this correlation function, and the P will enter this power. This is the signature of each ZP fractal symmetry. But you're right. So far, we have not found the proper quantity to show that fractal dimension, which actually, yeah, right. I mean, so we haven't found the proper quantity, which is easy to calculate as well. I mean, we can find a quantity, but actually, it's not very easy to calculate. As the RK point, which actually may show this fractal dimension. That's something we have not succeeded in doing.
Thank you.
Okay, I don't see another urgent question, so let's thank Schenke again.
Thank you.